Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
Listen live on the Odyssey app.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Some bad news when you lose both your nipples. That's some bad news. A student lost his nipples after he was dared to squirt two cans of essentially Axe body spray on them, causing the nipples to fall off.
Dave, nobody wants smelly nipples. So, I mean, I understand making sure you spray on the electric Mountain Dew ice neon
green
bomb.
Yeah.
Curve onto water, onto your nipples.
Look, those commercials are confusing. I mean, obviously, women are very attracted to the smell of Axe body spray.
Can you imagine if he had emptied two cans of body spray onto his body, what that room smelled like? It's going to smell like that for years to come.
You have to quarantine, like literally. Yeah. Like that is
You have invented a new variant. Well done. This kid said that his nipples obviously became rather frosty after you spraying that cold spray. And somebody, a classmate, flicked his nipples off.
Do we think that frostbite is also a name of Axe body spray? Frostbite.
Yeah, of course it is. A University of Liverpool student lost his nipples as a 15-year-old schoolboy and went to the next lesson as if nothing happened. He said, "I'm in German, sitting there, my nipples are now gone. I'm just chilling." And people were like, "Your shirt is bleeding." He added that people reacted in disbelief with his lack of nipples, and they have over the years. But he urged people to be cautious if they decided to copy him, but then also said, "I have no regrets and would do it again, given the time."
I saw pictures of these nips. And,
lack of nips?
I mean, he's still got areolas.
He does?
Yeah.
He's just missing the actual, like, little...
Yeah. That okay.
That doesn't do
it. It's not really... I can see why he doesn't have any regrets, you know, from this particular incident. I'm looking on Axe Body Spray's website, which I'm taking one for the team because this is going to get fed into my algorithm now, guys. Some of their fragrances.
You're going to get an ad served for you for, like, divorce attorneys, too.
Yeah, and I feel like it's going to start, like, subliminally, like, creeping into his mind. And then all of a sudden, Mahoney's going to start coming in. And you might become an Axe body spray kind of guy.
So we've got the Anarchy XL deodorant body spray.
Anarchy!
My deodorant's rebellious. Yeah. It doesn't recognize authority or
rebel
the police.
Body odor.
This is one of my favorites. Wild Bamboo deodorant body spray with essential oils.
Yes.
For the man who needs relaxing.
For the bro who loves crystals.
That's the yoga
and multi-level marketing schemes.
There's the Excite deodorant. Cool Ocean.
Cool Ocean.
Gold Citron. Epic Sky. And my favorite, Dark Temptation XL.
Oh, my goodness.
I feel like that one would smell the best. I don't know why.
I have seen that movie.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Audrey, there's been a whole lot of people that have been feeling that same pressure that you have, wondering if the housing market is ever going to cool down and whether or not you're going to be able to buy a house. And I think that I have at least a short-term answer for you.
Oh, okay.
Is it a short answer that involves two letters?
Oh, gosh. What is that? Give.
No.
I was going to say give up. That's two words. But
sales of single-family homes in December rose to their highest level in 10 months as buyers snapped up cheaper homes. In anticipation, though, of higher interest rates. So the thought here is that short-term, the answer is exactly what Mahoney said. No. But long-term, with the interest rates seemingly about to go up, that would make it, hypothetically, less of a buyer's market.
So it'll bring down the prices?
More of a buyer's market and less of a seller's market. So, yeah, I mean, you'd think that it would bring down the prices, hopefully considerably.
Bring down the house?
But whether or not that'll actually happen, we don't know. All I know is that single-family homes in December rising to their highest level in 10 months. Pretty surprising considering that most people don't want to move in December.
I was going to say, December is usually not the busiest of the moving months, but inventory is just so limited right now. Yep. I mean, you're just...
If you're not picking up a house in 24 hours, it's off market.
Yeah.
It's insane how quick and how things have been moving so fast. I mean, even from a renting standpoint. So, I don't know. I guess... We're going to be renters forever.
The median price of a new home to the point where half the homes sold for more, half for less, fell to $377,000 last month. its lowest level since June, but also 4% higher than December of 2020. Mm. So
yeah, but
surges,
I mean, like,
new home sales.
So, but I know that we're talking about interest rates getting higher, whatever. So that might make the housing costs lower, but it's already so high. What does lowering really do? It's not really like it makes it any more affordable, to be completely honest. I mean, if I'm looking at the market right now, I'm still going, whoo.
Yeah, it's just the houses would hopefully inflate less, considering that there's less people that are out there buying them. Because like you said, if you can put your house on the market at kind of whatever price that you want, and it's going to sell within half of a day.
We have a friend of ours who put his house on the market, and he was like just doing it just to see if it would get nabbed up. And it got nabbed up pretty fast. He was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this.
Well, for millions of dollars.
Well, they were
tons of money.
We've heard other stories, you know, a couple of other very wealthy friends whose houses weren't even for sale.
Yeah.
Got bought.
People just come through.
Walking,
they're like,
I really want
that house, as they're driving through a neighborhood, and they're like, Make me an offer. And they're like, okay, I'm gonna make the numbers so ridiculous there's no way you'd pay it. And then they're like, we'll pay that plus an extra $500,000 just to ensure that we get the house.
Yeah. Like, oh, must be nice. Anybody want to come through my rental? I have an extra bedroom.
I will sell it to you right now. So there's another big company that's coming out with an autonomous vehicle. So we were talking about how Boeing was moving towards the idea of self-flying taxis the other day. Now LG is rolling out their latest autonomous vehicle, and it kind of looks like...
Is it a refrigerator on wheels?
It kind of looks like a refrigerator on wheels.
Does it?
It sort of does.
Oh, gosh.
It looks, you know, like the UK, like the bubble taxis, you know what I'm talking about? The ones that you see over in London a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of looks like that, but between like a mix of that and then like a small bus.
Oh, I'm looking at it. It's kind of cool.
It's kind of cool, and it looks more like a rolling lounge than it does a self-driving Nissan, which is kind of appealing. I don't know. It's just interesting to see that LG, which is clearly exclusively like a technology company,
like TVs and refrigerators.
Yeah. And I mean,
overpriced refrigerators.
They do a good job. We've got a TV screen
on your refrigerator.
So are you going to
have a refrigerator in my car with a TV on that refrigerator?
All of that seems unnecessary.
Just the deepest form of inception that we could find.
Listen, I have a serious question for all you guys listening. Is there anyone, a single human out there that's listening right now that has purchased a refrigerator with a TV on it that went, this is useful?
I'm thinking about it.
You would not.
If we sign a new contract.
You don't need a new fridge.
Well, I do need a new fridge.
No, you don't. My garage fridge
went out.
Oh, so you're going to replace your current garage fridge with your actual inside fridge?
Yeah. It's like,
that seems unnecessary.
It's a midlife crisis. That's what most guys do.
So you're going to get a fridge with a TV on it?
That's right.
Why do you need a fridge with a TV?
A
you don't need that.
Fridge.
Don't tell me how to live my life.
Yeah, you're gonna upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Combine my two favorite things.
Every time you pull into that garage, that fridge that you're putting out there is going to be like, nice
fridge.
Corvette, big boy.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Have any of you gotten pulled over on the way to work? Like, were you late to the show?
Message deleted.
Mahoney had a cop on the road that he comes in every day, kind of lurking the other day, and it made you nervous, right? Because you've been pulled over on the way to work before.
Yeah, I got pulled over on the way to work by a friend once.
Yeah.
That was funny for a
person. He was a cop, and he thought it was funny to pull us over.
I was running late that day, too, and I was flying.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten a ticket on the way to the morning show, but when Dave and I used to do the MMA show on the talk station.
Oh, yeah.
I got a ticket once going to that.
Did you?
And I was only going like 7 over the speed
limit.
Come on. That was such garbage.
If you're not going 10 over the speed limit, like, get a life,
man. Was it a school zone?
Yeah. Like, if you're not, like, putting anyone in danger,
yeah,
10 miles over the speed limit, like, it's fine.
On the highway, should be at least 30.
For sure. If you're going south of 100, you're fine.
Yeah. Unless it's like, in the desert or something like that, or wide open, like, cornfields.
Then 200.
Yeah.
I don't ever really feel like I see cops. I always, lurking, I always see them after they've already got somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing that gets me is, like, you drive around most major metropolitan cities in the United States, and you don't really see that many people pulled over.
Yeah.
But anytime that you're on a road trip, if you're driving through, like, a real small town
with
200 people, like, the cop is always out waiting at the exact spot where it goes from the 55 on the highway to 25 in town.
Oh,
and he's waiting to bust you.
So I lived, when I grew up in St. Louis, there was a little town called Edmondson. Mm-hmm. And it's, I mean, you're just a tiny, tiny, tiny little like municipality right next to the airport. But you had to drive through it from the airport to get to the like all the car rental places, or you had to drive through it to get to the airport if you were coming from a certain side of town. And their speed limit was 15 miles an hour.
15? Is that a golf course? What
and
are you talking about?
They would ticket you if you were going 18.
Oh.
There was like five cops in that little town. It's, you know,
and they're like, hey, you can either pay this ticket or go ahead and come back to court in our small town that you're never going to come back to. Which do you prefer? You're like,
it was just the biggest money trap of all time.
Such garbage.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You never really appreciate breathing through your nose until you have one hell of a cold.
Message deleted.
I seriously just had to turn off my microphone in order to breathe again. I've had this weird Kirkland cold since Christmas time, and I just am so, I'm a booger. I'm a walking, talking booger.
And you know what's still amazing is, you know, here we are in 2022, but anytime you have a cold, everyone's like, oh, is that COVID? Do you have COVID?
I don't know if anybody actually went on and did this as well, but the USPS test, the free test,
yeah,
I got them. Yeah. I got mine. I don't have COVID, but at this point, I'm like, dang, this is all for naught. I've had this dumb cold.
You had this long cold and longer than you did have COVID.
Yeah, you don't
for
even
real.
Get off
literally.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like putting up my nose, circle, circle, circle four times. I was kind of like, all right, baby, give me a day off. Because I'm just like sitting there twirling it around. I'm like, make it worth it. Make this cold worth something. Nope.
Is it starting really to feel good?
It's getting in my throat.
You're getting to the point now where you've taken so many COVID tests that it's kind of like cleaning your ears, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it feels nice. You're like,
please leave
a
message.
French fries with ketchup or mustard or ranch is really delicious, but what about the wild combinations with French fries like carne asada French fries or French fries smothered in mozzarella cheese and brown gravy or French fries and what else can you get crazy with French fries with?
Chili cheese French fries.
Yeah, I don't think you need to get crazy with it at all. I mean, the chili cheese fries, like from Outback Steakhouse.
But, Audrey, you bring up an excellent point. You know, when it comes to chili cheese fries, those fries have to be well done.
Absolutely.
So many places
do soggy fries
or not like well cooked. Like, make sure those fries are well done, that they hold up.
I'm thinking about it right now, like the piping hot fries. Yeah. With the melted cheese that's got the steam coming off it.
And it kind of hurts me a little bit.
And then dipping them
hot
in cold ranch.
Talking thick-cut steak fries.
Yeah, thick-cut steak fries and then just into the cold ranch.
See, I'm a person that I like to do side fixings, like side sauces. I do that with my nachos as well because I'm not here for the sog. Because Mahoney, yes, they always put the soggy fries underneath.
Yep.
And the texture.
They steam on top of that.
It's so gross to me. So I'm always side stuff, please. So I can just... That's what it sounds like.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Mahoney, if I had to ask you to guess how much money the NFL makes in a single year in sponsorship dollars.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm not talking about including all of the TV rights that they have.
Yeah.
Totally separate from that. Let me give you just a couple of little hints here, and then you can make your guess, okay?
Okay.
So one big thing that happened recently, obviously, is the NFL embracing all of the sports betting.
And you and I have been around that world for a long time.
Been around it for a long time.
And that there is a lot of money in that space.
A lot of money. And it's all about acquisition, right? Especially when it's the new hot thing.
Yep.
I mean, you think back in the day with the poker boom and how regularly you would see not just commercials for the Full Tilts and the Poker Stars and all that, but they had like full-on pieces of programming. Like after an NFL game would be on Fox, it would go right to a piece of Poker Stars programming where, I mean, I enjoyed watching it because I'm a poker fan.
Yep.
But they were just like paying for that hour right after the NFL. Pretty insane just for branding, right?
But it makes sense because the first one you use is most likely is
the one you're going to stick with.
And the first one you use is the one you can think of right off the top of your head.
So normally, you know, the NFL is going to do really well in any given year, right, when it
comes
to advertising.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea, Microsoft pays the NFL $100 million every single year as part of their agreement. Verizon, how much do you think they're paying a year?
Verizon? I mean, I see Verizon commercials constantly throughout the game. So what, 150 million?
$300 million. Dollars.
Holy moly.
Anheuser-Busch is coming in with a quarter bill as well. $250 million every year.
That's wild.
I mean, see, like, how many cases of Bud Light do you have to sell for $250 million?
A lot.
That's a lot of beer.
Probably at least 50 million cases, right?
You've got to think, right? Because, I mean, like, the cost of creating it, packaging it, distributing it, right? Yeah. But then the marketing alone just for the NFL is $250 million.
Do you see Budweiser or Bud Light commercials anywhere outside of sporting things?
I don't really feel like it.
No, I mean, that's where they drop, obviously, the biggest nut. Like, for a long time, Bud Light was one of the bigger sponsors of the UFC, if you recall that. But... The numbers are in, so the NFL every single year makes how much, knowing that, you know, there's $100 million coming from the likes of Microsoft, $250 from Anheuser-Busch.
I would say overall $5 billion a year.
Oh, I was going to say two.
Yeah, Audrey's exactly right. So it's very close to $2 billion every single year. I mean, you think, like, the biggest sponsors, you know, coming in for $250 million.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while to get, I mean, with all the smaller ones, right? But yep. $1.8 billion in revenue this season alone in the 2021-2022 season, more than any other professional sports league, and a 12% increase in the 2020 to 2021 season.
You know what's kind of funny is that, you know, during the Super Bowl, whenever we think about all of the huge commercials that are played, none of those are the ones that I remember. Like, I can't remember. I remember the Doritos one. Like, that one comes top of mind. You know, I can't. Can you think of the Budweiser?
I remember Geico commercials more often than I remember Super Bowl
commercials.
You know
which ones get me right now is the Progressive, You're Becoming Your Parents. Like, the other day, I was sitting there talking to my wife. I'm like, oh, that reminds me.
Is it Progressive or is it Farmers?
No, it's Progressive. And I was talking to my wife about how she likes her meat thinly sliced from the deli. And I was like, oh, that reminds me of that commercial. She's like, how are you watching commercials? And I was like, yeah, how am I watching commercials? Oh.
Football.
It's because of football. It's the one spot where I'm not just watching a pre-recorded show or streaming something on a Netflix or whatever.
Oh, man.
You know what's crazy? That the NFL up until 2015 was a nonprofit.
Come LOL.
On. Yeah.
Come on.
Until 2018?
2015. So
a nonprofit organization, says who? That is, see, and
now they're a trade association.
How can you even get away with something like that?
I think people finally,
like, in our faces about it, too.
People, or they were tax exempt, excuse me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Good
Such
Lord.
Garbage.
Yeah. Pay your taxes.
I'm like, in the church.
You're like, how do the rich get richer? Oh, yeah. They're not paying their taxes. Like the rest of us slobs.
Half of the money they have isn't going directly into some road or school.
So, Mahoney, you go through these phases sometimes where you become a vegetarian.
Occasionally, yeah, I'd say about once a year, once every other year. I'll hunker down for about 4 to 6 months,
and it does actually help. Like,
I'd lose a lot of weight. Yeah,
But McDonald's has rolled out the McDonald's Meatless McPlant Burger, which just sounds terrible.
McPass,
but it's being tested at hundreds of locations in the U.S. and it's selling better than expected. They're saying. According to industry analysts. So they're saying that they have been testing this at a few locations starting back in November. Earlier this month, they went to 600 locations in California and Texas.
Yeah, I mean, why not try it,
Mahoney?
No, I mean,
there's
a
whole bunch more that are coming as well.
It's fine, and for people who want to get it quickly, but I like meatless meat. I like the Impossible Burger. I really do. I think Impossible Meat is phenomenal. Like their sausage patties, their ground beef.
Burger King, I think, is up there.
Yeah, but the fast food meatless versions, I'm a pass for me personally.
Because
because the Impossible Burger's good, but just like on the border. And that's like if you're cooking it either at a nice restaurant or at your at home.
Right.
It's passable. Like the care and massaging that needs to go into something like that at a fast food place isn't going
to happen.
That's
coming from somebody who does eat.
I'm just gonna get fries.
Who has options?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just get fries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but for somebody who is an actual vegetarian, about it from 7 years ago, my husband was a vegan and he was like, I was the most unhealthy vegan vegetarian ever. Because there were no options like this.
Yeah.
You know?
But this isn't
going
to be healthy either. That's like the idea that this is going to be healthy
because
coming from a fast food place is ludicrous.
Yeah,
you eat meat, though, Mahoney, for somebody who does not eat meat.
But there's plenty of times when I don't eat meat. as well.
Casually.
I've gone.
You would go, if you were going to look at the burger and you go, okay, if I have a choice between a fake burger or a real burger, you're going to pick the real burger because you have meat as an option.
My wife has been a vegetarian for, what,
her whole,
15
whole life,
years
right?
now or so? Yeah, she's a little older than 15.
Almost her whole life.
half her life.
I hope so.
Half her life. Yeah. But
welcome to West Virginia.
But she, her choice is she just doesn't eat fast food.
Because she's healthy.
Yes, that's a healthy
boring.
It's the movie quote quiz on the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So a little bit of nostalgia here, some movies that I'm sure that you've seen over the years. And these are big, popular movies. But the challenge here is that you only get a few seconds of each one of these clips. We have a total of five in the movie quote quiz. And Audrey, since you haven't been around as long as Mahoney, you get the option. You want to go first or second on the first one?
I think I want to go number one.
Okay.
Number one.
You want to go number one instead of number two? Got
yes,
it.
Please.
And also, please, you know, she can go first because she has never successfully completed a history of cinema class at
this
a prestigious
true.
Community college in St. Charles County, Missouri.
That
did you complete
true.
The class?
I did complete the class.
Good for you.
And actually, the professor of that also taught broadcast media.
Well,
and
I bet you were a favorite.
Did you fancy?
He was the one who suggested that I get into news.
Idiot.
In the news.
That'd be great. Yeah. All right, so if you need to hear the quote a second time after I played it initially, no problem, but you only have 5 seconds after that. Here we go with number one.
A duck. Exactly. So, logically, if she weighs the same as a duck, she's made of wood. And therefore, a witch!
A witch!
Oh my God, Monty Python.
Yes.
And
the Holy Grail.
Yes, and the Holy
Grail.
Quest
for the Holy Grail.
She's a witch.
And therefore, she's a witch. Burn her. That was real life, y'all. Like, that was real. Like,
yeah, that used to happen. That's
she's
weird.
Lighter than a feather. She can float.
She's a witch.
I'll tell you this. Don't go back and watch the, the Monty Python Flying Circus. Watch the Best Of compilation. Do not try to watch that in its full form.
Is it just a mess?
It is. There's some home runs, but a lot of misses.
Oh, yeah. Drags.
Yeah, they all can't be home runs.
They
right?
all can't.
Yeah.
No.
All right, so Mahoney, you're first on number two. Good luck.
Therese, a gold medal is a wonderful thing, but if you're not enough without it, you'll never be enough with it.
That has to be Cool Runnings.
Oh. Good for you.
Whoa.
Man. Good for you.
I was thinking like Tanya.
The
just referenced Jamaica having a bobsled team the other day when we were talking about the Winter
late,
Olympics.
Great John Candy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember watching that movie as a kid and being so inspired.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor that he died having a heart attack on a horse.
John Candy?
Wagons East. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was with Matthew Perry.
Guess he was on a horse.
And you know
that's
what?
How I want to go.
You know what else I heard is that the night before he had personally baked lasagna for his entire crew that was working on that movie.
Oh, my God.
They were like, yeah, John would just do that sometimes. He would just decide that he wanted to make dinner for everyone, and he made lasagna. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I
hope it is.
It's a lot of lasagna.
Golden retriever in human form.
Yeah, he really was. Yep.
I mean, the best.
All right, 1 point apiece. You guys off to a great start here. Audrey, you're first on number three.
Describe your perfect date.
That's a tough one. I'd have to say April 25th. Because it's not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
Miss Congeniality.
Yes. Great. 2 points.
She's a witch.
Oh, I love that movie.
That
I totally
so
forgot
Sandra
that
Bullock
part. That's hilarious.
Is top tier in that movie.
That
I think.
May be the best joke from the whole movie.
Yep.
All right.
Yes.
Audrey 2, Mahoney 1. Here we go on to number 4. Mahoney, you're up.
One time I'll put a firefly on my butt.
What?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
I myself to Drew Carey on The Price is Right.
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
Oh, God.
Oh, my
How
God.
Do I not know this? So, okay, it's Drew Carey on The Price is Right. Oh, I got to hear that again.
Okay, 5 seconds after it's done.
One time I'll put a firefly on my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Myself to Drew Carey on The Price is Right.
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
This movie flew under the radar.
5 seconds.
Oh.
Is that Grandma's Boy?
It's a good guess, but it's not. Audrey, can you steal?
I have not a clue, but whatever it is, I'm watching it.
You guys need to see this movie. Zach Galifianakis, Will Ferrell in The Campaign. The Campaign.
Oh, I saw that movie.
The Campaign. Yeah.
It never became one of those movies where you watch multiple times, like Step Brothers or something like that, though, right? It just... I saw it as well.
Yeah.
And it was okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there was funny parts.
Kind of like the beginning of the decline of Will.
Yeah, it's like the part where he got bit by the rattlesnake, I remember being kind of funny.
I don't remember anything from that movie. I just know I saw it in the theater.
Will Ferrell punches a baby.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Yes,
square in the face.
Maybe I need to revisit it.
Yes, you know what? I'm a big fan of Zach Galifianakis and his new voiceover for the new cartoon movie, Ron Gone Wrong. Have you seen that?
Oh,
so he's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that HBO Max?
HBO and Disney Plus.
Okay.
Very good. Very cute.
Audrey, here we go for the win and the dunk.
So if you're from Africa, why are you white? Oh my God, Karen, you can't just ask people why they're white. Could you give us some privacy for like 1 second?
For the win.
This is Mean Girls.
There you go. Look, overall, you guys both did great today. We got 4 out of 5 correct, but Audrey with the easy win, 3-1.
It's Pop Trash!
It must be real nice to be a celebrity and get paid an obscene amount of money for doing literally nothing. I mean, there's been plenty of talk about, you know, the Kardashians over the years. They're famous for nothing. But let's not kid ourselves. They work.
Kris Jenner is one of the most brilliant business women in the world.
Period.
I mean, you say what you want about her ethics behind it. The way that she's created a multiple billion-dollar empires for her kids.
Yeah, and some fairly untalented ones along the way. She's managed to muscle all of them up.
I feel like all of them definitely have their own strengths. I feel like Kendall is the model, and she is gorgeous. She's not a billionaire by any means. The ones that I feel like are definitely like the leeches, and some people wouldn't agree with this, but Courtney, she's just kind of there, and now she's marrying Travis, and that's fine. She just never wanted to work. Yeah. She doesn't have like the grind that Kim has, and then what's her name?
Chloe?
Kylie. Just was like, I kind of like makeup, so let's make this crap makeup and market it because I'm pretty.
Isn't she like the richest out of all of them, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kylie, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, she was able to find the perfect formula. Well, right place, right time.
Doesn't it make you angry, though, when you see a celebrity and they come along and they decide that they're going to do what you do but not even do it and they get paid more than you'll ever make? Because that's kind of what happened with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. So, I mean, we've been in broadcasting and podcasting for many years, right?
Yep.
And no one has ever made us a multi-million-dollar offer for this crap. And, I mean, I get it, right? Let's not kid ourselves.
Spotify, we're not royals.
We aren't. Spotify made an offer to Prince Harry and Meghan Markle to do a podcast for them and paid them $25 million for the podcast. And
how many podcasts, Dave?
Well, so
it's
far...
It's created a network, allegedly.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So far, they've produced none.
A podcast.
How long was it, I wonder?
Like a teaser. But the idea was that this brand-new podcast, again, they're forking out $25 million.
They are 100% grifters. They were pitching this to Disney. They were pitching stuff to Netflix. As these content creators, you are just hacks. You are just malcontent hacks.
But they're not even, like, going to do it themselves, right? I mean, if you're just producing it, just produce it and make it happen. So the whole idea is that the Archwell Audio is going to feature high-profile women as part of their network, and it was supposed to appear.
Yeah.
I mean, they did this deal all the way back in 2020. It's now 2022. They thought at some point during 2021 that they would have a podcast.
Dave, COVID is going on. You can't possibly produce a podcast. Yeah. It
takes a lot of work.
Yeah, because
it's something that can be done from the confines of your bedroom.
Everyone in 2021 got a podcast. Yep. In 2020.
I mean, we should be happy that one less person isn't producing a podcast because there are too many. But goodness, I don't know, man. I just do not like, I cannot stand Harry. I can't stand her. I just do not like them.
Harry seemed like he was a lot more fun when he was getting naked at the Wynn and partying, you know.
I think the royal family sucks in general, and they're just another symptom of it, man. They all suck.
So
ripping off big tech companies, whatever.
If you were a fan of The Office, then the reuniting of John Krasinski and Steve Carell is pretty exciting, right?
John Krasinski has really become an amazing talent. I mean, just not only actor-wise, because he's become an action star in Jack Ryan.
If you haven't seen Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime,
he's also, as writing and directing goes, did The Quiet Place.
And those were big hits, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen Quiet Place 2?
I have not yet.
So John Krasinski is going to direct a new movie called If with Steve Carell as the star, according to Deadline. He's going to direct it. He wrote and produced it as well. Krasinski took to social media with the news. So it's going to have Steve Carell and Ryan Reynolds and Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Fiona Shaw and Alan King, Kayleigh Fleming. I mean, it's huge, right?
You know, and it's got to be such a cool moment, too, for Steve to, because was John Krasinski really known before Office?
No, that was
like, it's got to be such a cool moment to see, like, it's like the young grasshopper, like the sensei to the teacher to the whatever. You know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean. Yeah, no, it's cool to see, like, somebody who just kind of had a bit role at the beginning grow into a huge role in the show, but then not be satisfied with that, right? I mean, you could be just the guy from The Office forever. He has worked his tail off to break out of just being
that guy,
Jim from The Office,
well, if you
and
look
turn
at
into something huge.
The
and dynamic.
The staff or the people behind The Office, I mean, the cast, Steve Carell, Jenna Fischer, John Krasinski, Rainn Wilson, BJ Novak, Mindy Kaling, Ellie Kemper. I mean, all of those are huge power players in Hollywood right now, and the stuff that they're putting out's really good.
Mindy's shows
and also,
that just got on Netflix.
I mean,
are fantastic. even
like Ed Helms and Craig Robinson, like anything. I will say this: anything Craig Robinson does, I will go see.
Craig Robinson is fantastic.
Maybe the best.
Yeah,
him playing a keyboard. I just want to be in a room with him playing a keyboard, and I could die
Which
happy.
Which one's Craig?
He worked in the shipping area of the
office.
Oh,
okay.
Daryl. He played Daryl.
Time Machine and like the Pizza Hut commercial.
I know exactly
guy.
Who you're talking about.
Yeah, he's great.
Yo! Fast food freakouts.
If I wasn't in this car, man, I'd come in there and kick your ass.
Ma'am, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
The great thing about going out on just any given day and enjoying a fast food restaurant is that you might see some crazy ish go down. And that's what happened in all of these instances. These are fast food freakouts. There are little clues in the audio as to which restaurant the fast food freakout happened at. You guys trying to figure out which one it is. All right, so I'll give you the setup. I'll play the audio, then I'll give you a multiple choice of what it could be. Whoever gets more correct out of the three is going to be the winner today. And first up, it's a man going crazy inside of the lobby and trying to fight the employees.
Oh,
let's have a listen.
Ooh, get
sound violent, man. Right?
Yep.
Was that A, a McDonald's, B, a Burger King, or C, a Taco Bell?
Audrey. That was a Taco Bell.
Mahoney is agreeing with her, and both of you are incorrect.
That is not right, Dave.
Oh, okay.
Is that what that was? Even though
because
you pointed
that
her
clearly a Burger King.
That was actually a Burger King, so Mahoney gets the steal.
I was shaking my head and knowing that I was going to be right.
Got it,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
That felt like Taco Bell.
I got duped.
Man, you know, like a taco's like $1.69 now.
What was it before?
Man, do you not remember Taco Bell's famous like musical slogan before Yo Quiero Taco Bell? It was 59, 79, 99. Tacos were 59 cents in the 90s.
Yeah.
59 cents! God, we're old.
You remember the marketing campaign from before the Chihuahua.
It rhymed.
There's like nine dead Chihuahuas since then.
59, 79, 99. Dude, that song slapped.
All right, here we go. On to number two.
Unlike that guy in that Burger King who was slapping the employee.
This is a woman getting kicked out of a fast food restaurant.
Oh, he's recording me? And you're keeping him here?
I'm going to tell
this. Now my employee's out of his jurisdiction. He is recording me.
I'm going to tell this story till I'm 90.
He's out of his jurisdiction. And my husband and my vehicle don't appreciate it at all. Y'all are f***ed up.
That is why I denied her service, Brian. Okay. That is why.
Ma'am, let it go.
That is why, Brian.
Wow. You are out of your jurisdiction.
Reba McEntire's really gone downhill.
Was that A, Jack in the Box, B, KFC, or C, Long John Silver's? Mahoney.
It's KFC.
No.
Okay, so it was Jack in the Box or what other one?
Long John Silver's.
Jack in the Box.
No, it's a Long John Silver's.
Long John.
What's your final answer?
Long John Silver's.
Yeah, that's right, Audrey. Well done.
Wait, what?
Long John Silver's,
Who gets into a fight in a Long John Silver's?
Do you know how long I had to hunt for a clip of someone freaking out in a Long John Silver's?
I mean, you probably...
15 minutes. But still.
Ian lied to us. He didn't even have a baby. He took 2 weeks off to find that clip.
I did. Where we found it.
Do you know what state that took place in?
That was down south somewhere.
That is, that is
the
in the
deep
south.
That was
for
deep.
Sure.
That was the panhandle.
Because I love the manager, I will say, the guy who was working the window had a good voice. I feel like he could do some voice work. Let's hear that guy's voice again.
You want to run it back and try to hire the assistant manager from Long John Silver's?
That is why I denied her service, Brian. That is why.
I mean, for being deep south, he's got a non-regional dialect going there. That's a key.
All right, tied up one apiece, very fairly. Here we go. Third and final one. This is a couple berating the store manager.
Excuse me.
We like to add. We're gonna call the cops as well.
I'm trying to finish my order.
We want to add one more thing, and I need a straw. I need sauces. And I need a straw.
Look, I need sauces and I need a straw. So you f*** out, you little dumb.
We're calling corporate.
Get the f*** out of here.
Okay,
I don't care if you
call corporate. That's why you work at.
Not that serious.
Wow. Mahoney. What a cool couple.
Mahoney
calling.
I'm calling
a shot. Babe Ruth in this. I'm the great Hambinoing this from the Sandlot.
It is?
McDonald's.
It is not.
You're a disappointment.
Yeah, sure that means it's me. Okay, go.
Del Taco.
Mm-mm.
El Pollo Loco.
Nah.
No. Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It's the sauces.
I really, because you don't get charged extra for sauces at Taco Bell.
No. Uh-huh.
In fact, sometimes they go too crazy.
No, I got a 32-ounce full of sauces one day.
I did not need 70 sauces for my two tacos.
I do need 70 sauces for my two tacos. Thank you very much. Cover me in them.
Cover you in the sauce?
Oh, yeah.
That's he likes spicy.
The Diablo sauce.
Watch the David Mahoney Show live every morning on twitch.tv/David Mahoney.
Okay, so let me ask you a serious question, Mahoney.
What's that, Dave?
What is the single best driving food that you've ever consumed? Because we just had a conversation in the studio, and I mean, a lot of it can qualify as good driving food, but what is the best driving food?
I remember every meal I've ever eaten inside of a car.
You remember every one?
I kind of have a... I've got a photographic memory.
A photographic memory. You can't remember the name of all of the women that you've actually hooked up with, but you can remember every meal that you've had in the car?
Without a doubt.
Okay.
In vivid memory.
Excellent.
And the greatest meal I ever had was outside of Springfield, Missouri. It was on October 31st, 2003. I was driving from St. Louis to Las Vegas. It was 3 in the morning, and I stopped to get gas, and I noticed a late-night taco stand that was opened. And I got gas. I pulled into this taco stand, ordered two tacos, ate these tacos, and it was literally, as I'm eating these tacos, it is borderline orgasmic. Like, this is the best meal I've ever eaten in my life at this point. And
did you reach the peak?
I ate both of these tacos, and I remember it started to rain shortly thereafter. And I'm sitting there because I didn't want to drive. I was in my car. I didn't want to drive on the highway because it was late at night.
Do you remember what you were listening to?
I was listening to it was a rock station in Springfield.
Oh, so it had to have been like some primitive radio guys or something.
Definitely 90s alternative. And I remember thinking,
eating some tacos.
Yeah.
These tacos were so good. Something bad is going to happen to me because this kind of glory. The balance in the universe has to even itself out because this meal is so good. Shortly thereafter, I blow a tire. I get back on the highway, blow a tire, spend hours on the side of the road, get pneumonia, and takes me 3 days to go from Springfield, Missouri to Las Vegas, and was sick for weeks.
But was it worth it?
Were the tacos
worth it? I would eat those if I could recreate. I've been.
You had to relive that exact same scenario, that same timeline. And you got to have those tacos again.
I got stuck in a motel in Chucumcari, New Mexico in a blizzard in October.
Okay.
Because of this. Okay. I would sacrifice a family member for those tacos again.
Mahoney!
Which one?
Distant.
Sorry, Uncle Joey.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
you ever use a trough, I know for a fact you look at other dudes in other regions. For sure.
Message deleted.
I hate troughs.
The worst.
If you're not familiar with a trough, it's when you like, they have them mostly at like ballparks and stuff, but you'll go into a bathroom and it's just like a sea of wieners.
I feel like they've pulled those out of most of the older stadiums, though. I think there's only a few left. Or really bad bars also have.
Sure.
Like, you know, if you go into a bar and they have a trough,
also, what's
it's
with
a crappy bar.
What's with the anywhere? Airports, bars, stadiums, doesn't matter. You didn't budget money for dividers.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. It doesn't need to be a lot, right? But it's like, nobody wants to sit there and just be in a row of Ds.
No. Give us some privacy.
Although, maybe.
Some private D. Instead of privacy, some private D.
Mm-hmm.
We should start that company.
Private D dividers. Private dividers.
Yeah. $1 billion idea right there. We could become the Brady of dividers, you know?
You know what's kind of crazy is that this is a real thing that you guys have to go through every day. Like, you have to stand up next to or near someone with their thing just out in the open, just peeing right next to you. And that's normal. Like, girls, we have our own little privacy cubbies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's wild.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, maybe that's a little bit telling about us that we don't want to, like, whip it out and compare it to everyone else because, you know, like, I'm Scottish. Just leave me alone. But, you know,
I'm very tall. If I was very short, it would be way more impressive.
I mean, I like the private D instead of the privacy. Yeah. We could also, instead of little D energy, call little D privacy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
That does have a nice cadence to it. But yeah, when I'm in the bathroom, it is eyes up.
Yeah.
Also,
you never take a little peek.
No, don't.
You were telling me right now.
Never.
Why?
You never.
No,
not once.
I don't want to.
Never
but
once.
Why? But you get that peripheral vision.
Because what happens if?
Yeah,
it's,
you've yeah, never yeah, peeked down one
if somebody's
time.
Rocking the, sure, you know, a summer sausage,
you've never.
I don't want to feel like
you were such
I'm
a liar.
Be,
you've never one time taken a little hookaloo.
No, that's just that's not.
That's not fun.
No, I mean I have no problem with male frontal nudity. It's just it has its place.
You've never been two doors down and just like. Or three doors down.
That is not a thing.
Mandrill said, why would you, man? Girls are weird. Yeah. Talking about you, Audrey. Like,
yeah.
You're like in there just peeping out everyone's wiener.
I mean,
yeah, that's just weird. You're violating
somebody's
private space.
I just didn't know if there's
space.
Ever, well, then get a stall. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like if it's out in the open and exposed like that, for you to not accidentally
look. No, you look forward and you look up, man. And also, let's not talk while we're
in
here.
Yeah, Boozette. Again, in our chat said, that's why women have cubbies. We would all be peeping. Like,
you're a bunch of perverts.
Yeah, like, hey, what's going on? Oh, cool. Okay. Glad. Congratulations, man. You got a big old thing. Or, dang, that sucks. I know some pills that might help you out. I don't know. Like,
no.
Girls always have conversations,
guys
too.
Don't have conversations about their junk with each other.
You guys don't have any conversations?
No.
Y'all act like you're mortified by wieners, but then you want to see every last one of them. Make up your mind.
Yeah. No. I will say that it's very alarming that men don't have conversations, because girls, I've had some of the most uplifting conversations in the bathrooms.
Do like, not ever talk to me in the bathroom.
No.
What?
No. If the building is on fire, wait until I'm out of the bathroom to tell me.
Maybe we're at the sinks. That's about it.
Yeah.
I have been gassed up by many a woman in the bathroom before. Like, girl, you got this.
What, like when you're taking a huge crap? Like, they're like, yeah, get it out.
No, not when I'm in the stall. Not in the stall. Just, like, out and about. Like, when you're washing your hands or you're putting your lip gloss on. Like, girls, we're conversationalists by nature, I think.
That
and we're just having all kinds.
Awful.
Terrible.
It's fantastic. You guys are dumb.
You're dumb.
How can you guys say you don't poop at work? That is the most profitable part of your day if you do.
Message.
I mean, I get it. You're getting paid to do nothing. That's fine. But, like, no, man. Like, our bathrooms are small. If we had like, floor-to-ceiling dividers and or doors on there, like they do at fancy places, then maybe. But here, no, man. You can see everybody's shoes. You know who's in there.
I know whose shoes those are. I know you're pooping in there, Chet.
Mm-hmm. We know what's happening.
I'm absolutely pooping at work.
No, unless I...
If I have to poop, I'm pooping.
But I mean, you're already in there sitting down. Like, no one knows. Like, there's no reason why I'm going and sitting down in the stall.
Other than to poop, and they all know your shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Wow, so you have to go home to poop.
Yeah, well, and I'm a closet pooper. I don't even like pooping at home.
That's true. I mean, that's silly. That's what I'm saying. I'm advocating for men. Y'all got to start wiping. Bring the toilet paper out of the stalls. Wipe your little thing.
We're not wiping our wieners.
Stalls
it's just
everywhere.
Not going to happen.
Stalls everywhere.
Stalls everywhere. Okay, I'm on board with that.
Yes. Floor to ceiling stalls. Yes.
Stalls everywhere for you guys. And start wiping because we don't need more Tony Romo existences.
That's not a wipe issue. That's a
he didn't flick it enough, which means that he didn't. And, if he would wipe, maybe it would have been fine.
No, and as you get older, that just happens, man. Like, don't,
did he
don't,
just forget to push out a little
sometimes,
extra?
No, sometimes.
Or if you're in a rush, you're nervous.
No, sometimes you can't feel it, and then when you pull your pants
you
up, it happens.
That's See, now everyone's giving me grief. Buzette said Dave has potty training trauma that needs to be healed. He's a closet pooper.
No. Yes, we're unraveling
you
the trauma.
You don't understand the horrors that we have seen, the people we have worked with in this building over the years. Like that bathroom is just too small. It really is. It's just too small. I'm going home. When we worked in Houston, we worked in an office building, and it took us 45 minutes to get home. I had to make a... Like, there were times where because we were there late.
Mahoney found, let's not unpack this, Chelsea.
Yes, everybody's wanting you to unpack the poop trauma.
No,
what happened to you?
I don't know. I just do not want other people around when I'm pooping.
Why do you feel so closeted?
I don't fart in front of my wife intentionally. I don't, like, because that's just not a pleasant part of being a human.
Did you just take, like, a fat slam
Dave wants
in school one day and
Dave's wife
made fun
doesn't
of you?
Find him. He Dave knows.
I'm on a thin string here for, like, my wife finding me attractive. I don't need to be messing that up.
Was it because you grew up in a household that had like 12 kids that you felt rushed into pee because everybody was like banging on, or to poop because everybody was banging on the door?
Maybe.
Now you just want your own bathroom so
you
can find
peace.
I want
my own space, And I have an office bathroom. So I have an office at my house that locks that you cannot get in unless you have my fingerprint on the little doorknob thing. You can't get in. And
we're unpacking this.
Yeah, and then there is a bathroom off of that intentionally so I have a private place all to myself that is two doors deep to get to.
It all stems from your childhood.
Maybe. I don't know.
All the kids just, Dave, come on, you're taking too long to poop.
I have a panic room in my house that I poop in.
The poop panic room.
Nowhere else.
Audrey, why don't you dump these fools and get with a good show?
Message deleted.
I love this show. I do.
I mean, you keep talking trash to Dave about his, stuff he doesn't
want
to talk
therapy.
About.
This is therapy.
This is
not
therapy.
You got to open up. You got to talk. No. This is a safe space, Dave.
That is three calls back-to-back about dumps. I don't like it.
Every weekday morning from 6 to 10, the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show.
So the question that we have for you today, you can weigh in at 833-YO-DUMMY on social media at Dave Mahoney. You can call or text anytime at that phone number is, what is the grossest thing or person that you've ever encountered while traveling? And this is pre-pandemic, right? Because normally you get into an Uber or Lyft now, and the windows are rolled down, you know, the whole thing. Like, the windows down, masks on, all that. This may be where COVID originated from in the United States, because this was just before the pandemic really went ham in March of 2020. This is in February of 2020. I had to go to Miami to do some work for the Super Bowl. And the guy whose car I got into to go from the airport to the hotel whenever I got down there was the gassiest son of a bitch that I've ever met in my life.
Wait, he gassed you out
in an
Uber?
He was farting in the Uber, and I couldn't roll down the windows. He had the lock on, and I couldn't bring myself to ask him, hey, man, will you unlock the windows so I can roll down the window because you keep busting ass in this Uber?
You gotta use your voice, Dave.
His car.
Yeah.
You know?
No. He's disrespecting you. That might have been his kink. Just letting you roast.
His kink.
He was just letting you roast back
what
there.
What did he
slow
do
cooking.
When you approached him about this?
You
I
didn't did
approach him
oh,
about
you,
it. I just dealt with it.
No, Dave was just sitting back there all silent, sniffing away.
At least in this day and age, I'd have a mask to wear to try to save myself a little bit. But I just had to sit there and deal with it.
I cannot believe you didn't say a word.
And we got stuck in some traffic, too. And I was like, oh, this is so terrible.
You're too polite, Dave.
What am I going to do? Hey, man, your ass stinks.
Yes.
Let me roll down the window.
He's disrespecting you.
I don't think I've ever farted in an Uber.
I know I haven't farted in an Uber because I would be mortified.
I mean, I've been blackout in an Uber, but I don't know.
Sure, anything could have happened then.
Yeah, but I
could have gotten hit by a meteor and I wouldn't have noticed. Kurt said I had to take a cab from Midtown Manhattan to Penn Station, and the taxi driver had the worst BO ever.
Yeah.
Couldn't have the windows up because I would have puked. He smelled so bad, and it was raining for like 20 blocks. As I got out, two girls started to get in, and I heard one of them gag when she got in while I walked away. It was truly putrid.
I was in a cab in L.A. in the summer, and I can't remember. I think I was taking it from LAX to go somewhere, and just the windows were down in the car, in this cab, and the smell was still so bad that it – how somebody's body can put off this much odor when there's literally fresh air being blown into this car as we are driving, that it's still hitting me directly in the face.
Some people don't know about that clinical strength. Y'all got to go out and get some like extra strength body, like armor, literally armor for your pits.
If you can smell yourself, everyone else can smell you 10 times more. Yep.
And there's no way you're that nose blind. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, I don't smell that well. Yes, you do. If everyone from here to freaking Kalamazoo can sniff your pits, you're stinky.
So my wife actually
reapply
last night made me go change my...
Did you just sniff yourself?
Yeah, I was just giving I was giving me a...
Get a little sniff.
Like, oh, yeah, we're good. We're good.
God, I'm nervous now.
Because the hoodie that I was wearing yesterday, I don't wash
like
it very
flowers.
Often. Because, like, with hoodies, when you wash them, especially, like, fleece-lined hoodies, they get
stinky
worse.
Fast. Oh.
So you
got to
wash them in, like, woolite and be, you know, like, delicate with them. So I don't wash that hoodie all that often. But I went walking yesterday, and I had, a long-sleeve undershirt on as well. And I knew I was a little bit funky. I got into bed last night.
You didn't shower?
Not last night, no.
Did you shower today?
I did this morning. Oh, but last night, when I got in, my wife said, you have to get out of bed and go change your shirt.
Really?
Because she's like,
I can't sleep.
I cannot. She's like, this is so. I'm like, I knew it was bad.
You ripe son of a gun.
But you made were stinky. Me stinky. Imagine if that's just your pits.
But it was just. I was like, it's the shirt. It's the shirt from the hoodie. It compounded. Compounded.
And you were just okay with it. You were just gonna just take a little snooze.
Well, she wanted. I would have taken a shower last night, but she was already in bed, and I like wanted to go to bed like then. So
you were being
considerate.
I was being considerate.
Yeah, by getting into bed smelling like a hot piece of trash.
Did she tell you she was her time for bed?
She
like
did.
You couldn't have done it before.
No, well, I was playing Warzone.
That's why you were sweating, getting all nervous, talking trash to those 12-year-olds.
Sweaty.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
So it's one thing to encounter something gross just in your day-to-day life, right? But when you're traveling, you're probably already not having a great time. And when you encounter something gross, whether it's a person or a situation, you don't love it. Elena said, a toxic boyfriend I had when I was going through a divorce with my husband's. With my husband, we went on vacation, me and my family, with this new boyfriend to Tahoe for New Year's early 2000s. We were getting ready, and he took a picture of himself taking a huge crap and then proceeded to show all of my brothers and my sister and my brother-in-law.
That's a little much.
Man, I had low standards and terrible self-esteem back then.
Aww.
You learn, you know? I mean, hey, you got to hit the bottom to know where the floor is, right? You know? You got to know where the bottom absolutely is. If you've never been to the bottom... The top doesn't feel that high.
Sometimes the bottom, though, don't go searching for it, because sometimes there's a level that you just didn't know existed.
You're like, there's a trap door.
there's a sub-basement. Nice to see that. So we used to travel a lot when we were, when I was in a ska band in the late 90s, early 2000s.
You were in a ska band?
You played guitar.
Yes. And
what the
I
heck?
Can specifically remember one time we were driving to, I think it was Michigan. And this was back when the wide mouth Mountain Dews were a thing.
Somebody peed in it, didn't they?
Not only did somebody pee in it, somebody spilt.
No. How does that happen?
I don't
know. Like, if you pee in the wide mouth Mountain Dew, which, by the way, were excellent for peeing.
Dude, they were. That's why they were invented.
But it's the same color.
It's the same
color. But they did wide mouth Pepsi bottles, too, though.
But if you did the Mountain Dew, which was better because it was the same color, so you could throw it away without obviously being a jar full of urine that you're carrying through a parking lot at a truck stop. You had to seal it. You had to close it. How did somebody spill it?
I don't know if they went to open it, but it like literally, and I think after
in the van?
In the van. And this is summertime.
And it was a P-tar. You were playing the P-tar.
The P-tar, not the key-tar.
The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, every weekday morning from 6 to 10.
So what is the grossest thing that you've ever encountered while traveling? 833-YO-DUMMY if you want to call or text. Jeff said driving cross-country from South Carolina to Las Vegas. Drove 22 hours straight to the Texas-Mexico borderline and was so tired I was hallucinating only hotel I could find was a Days Inn that was in terrible shape.
Ugh.
I don't know if there's a Days Inn that's in good shape, but I think we can all envision a Days Inn that's in terrible shape. Said, I got a room. I turned the sheets down in the bed, and it was full of pubes.
Oh, no.
I was so tired, I didn't care, and I fell asleep in my bed of pubes. 4 hours later, I woke up, finally aware of what I was laying in, took a whore shower with a bar of soap, grabbed my shirt, and got the hell out of there.
Hey, you remember when Days Inn tried to rip me off at the beginning of COVID?
No.
Go on.
I was traveling to, was going to go to Canada, out of Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
On an Alaskan cruise, but Canada shut the borders, and this Days Inn in Vancouver tried to withhold, like, because we paid for this hotel, and they're like, yeah, no, we don't do refunds. I'm like, there's a pandemic going on.
You
I literally
do
cannot.
Do wow.
The only thing, and I had to go full Karen. I took that to Twitter, and the only reason they refunded it is because I got a stupid blue check mark. Screw you, Days Inn in Vancouver, Canada. I will hate you forever, especially
hey,
the lady.
Don't besmirch Vancouver, Canada as a whole.
No, I'm saying that the Days Inn in Vancouver, Canada, the specific woman who said, what, you need the money? Yeah, bitch, I need that money.
I think that they didn't realize that the pandemic was going to be quite like the pandemic was.
Also, like, spare me on shaming me about needing the money, lady who works at Days Inn. In
yeah,
Vancouver.
Right. The money. Like, I need the money. Yeah. I hate that when people do that to you.
Unless
like,
your last name is Bezos, Linda, you need the money, too. What, you need the money? You got a fancy-ass hotel in Vancouver.
Let him know.
Allison said, this would make me so mad, especially when you're talking about, like, a long flight. Man behind me on an overseas flight took his shoes off and rested his foot under my armrest.
Oh, no.
What the F, people? Do
feet
better.
On the planes, can't.
When we flew back from London, when we went over to Greece, we had a stop over at whatever that airport is.
O'Hare?
Chicago? No. We're in, like, London.
Oh, Heathrow.
And flying back to Las Vegas is a long,
long
flight. And the lady who was sitting directly next to me, first off, coughed the entire flight, got me sick, but also not only took her shoes off, but also her socks.
Why do people do
across
that?
Across the Atlantic.
Look, if you're in one of those like fancy like first class lounges.
No one's
like,
around you.
Where you put your feet up, you know, and it's like it's designed for you to lay back and sleep. I understand why you take your shoes off, but they also, I believe, give you little slippers.
Yeah.
Like up there, so that way you don't have to walk around in your socks. I don't understand the people that are on like the 45-minute Southwest flight.
Actually,
they're like, let me pop my shoes
it's
off.
So gross.
What are you doing?
So not
your life together.
Now I think about it. She wasn't wearing socks. She was wearing Uggs, like those Ugg shoes that had the fur in them and just took them off and was barefoot. So her feet
were sweaty.
Just nasty and just coughing.
I feel like the societal unawareness that people have, I mean, not even just on planes, just kind of like existing in life. I'm just like, how do you not understand the way we exist as a society? We are in this aluminum can in the sky, and you are deciding that we're all breathing the same air. We all don't know each other. And you think that your feet being bare, like you're just like literally taking your socks and shoes off in front of me who I don't know you. What is that? It's so weird.
Let me pose.
Who's your parents?
Let me pose a question to you guys because I'm curious what you think is worse. Somebody who is, as you mentioned, Audrey, blissfully unaware of your surroundings.
Unaware.
Or is that worse than somebody who knows that this is wrong but still does it? Which is the worst?
Like the entitlement.
Because you're talking about the intent, right? So, I mean, if somebody's just an idiot, like, you're annoying.
But I feel
but
like that's
idiot.
Almost worse, though.
No.
Because
it's
you're just
it's
so
much worse
that
to know
or
that
sheltered
you are being
or something? I don't
inconsiterate.
Know.
And not caring about anyone
I almost
else.
Respect the malice. Like, I know what
respect
I'm doing is wrong.
Malice.
I kind of respect that more.
I don't know if I respect it, but I definitely, like, somebody who's doing that just values their own comfort over others. And the narcissism behind that is just, oh, my God, so tilting.
I can relate to that.
Okay.
Love said we sat next to a man using tweezers to get his nose hair out of his nostrils during a flight.
Okay.
And the entire flight
Aren't
he did that.
Are we not supposed to? I know this sounds like one of these things you read on Facebook or whatever, but aren't we not supposed to pluck our nose hairs because it could get infected and it's that close to your brain?
No, it's actually attached to your brain. You could pull your whole brain out.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not recommended, and it can
Really?
Lead to ingrown hairs and an infection. You are correct, Mahoney.
Really?
That's one Google search.
It's making my nose itch. Just
that's why I got you the Norelco. I just do the once around.
Oh, you got a fancy nose shaver?
I did until I lost it.
How much would it... You lost it? How did you lose your nose hair shaver?
It's my nose and ear hair trimmer, which I don't know if that's gross that I stick something in my nose and my ear or something in my ear and my nose.
You can pick any two orifices on your body and it's fine.
But I also
have
not more than two.
It's also the occasional manscape like utility one because it doesn't like cut. So like to get in those like hard to reach crevices.
I don't know. I don't know.
What do you mean?
I don't know if you're supposed to be putting that up there and then one hole in the
other
hole.
Specifically for your nose.
It's only two holes. Any more than two holes is against the law in 13 states.
Don't be a fool. Wrap
it up.
Wrap
it up.
Wrap it up.
That's a wrap.
Wrap It Up is where Ian takes to the streets and tries to find himself an MC. And today you found somebody scooting around the streets and you said, hey, are you able to rap for me? Because I'd really like you to showcase your skills live on the radio for everyone.
That's right, Dave. He can't walk, but maybe he can rap. Let's see. This is Steve. I've known Steve for a handful of weeks. He's actually kind of been begging me to get on the radio, so I thought this would be the perfect excuse to do such that. Steve is in a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
He's got bad knees.
Okay.
So he's in a wheelchair. He doesn't really do much during the day, just kind of scoots around. Steve also really likes to smoke his marijuana.
Mm.
So much that Steve becomes dumb stoned.
Was he dumb stoned when you were talking with him for this?
This was probably the most stoned I've seen a person in the last 10 years. And believe me, in the last 10 years, we legalized marijuana here. So he was very, very high. And it did not lean to his rapping ability. Mm. But, very much like MacGyver, I think I was able to put together quite the remix here for Steve.
Well, Audrey already came up with a great rap name for Steve. Steve's knees.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe, okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Steve, shoot him a shot.
Just to paint a little bit more of a picture.
What about Wheelie Stevie? Yeah, it doesn't really.
Stevie.
It's too many.
Steve's knees on wheels.
Believe me, after you hear his quote unquote rap, I don't think you're going to want to give him a name besides Steve.
What is that? That stevia?
That's sugar.
Is that a sugar?
Yeah.
That's a flavor agent.
It's a sugar substitute. All right, here we go. Let's have a listen to Steve and see how he does when he is put on the spot and asked to rap.
Right on, man.
All right, we're here for another edition of Wrap It Up. You got an MC name?
No.
Well, how about a real name?
Yeah, Steve.
So you haven't rapped before, have you?
No.
What do you do?
I sit in a wheelchair and roll and stuff.
What's the top speed on that thing?
Probably about 25.
Man, don't get a ticket on me, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, I already told you, the bit's called Wrap It Up, man. So we're just looking, for like a minute, dude. I think you can do this, man. You got some rhyming skills, right?
No, I don't, man. I don't think I can do it, man.
I think you could do it. DJ, spin it. Let's try it. Just try it, man. Here we go.
Brand new banger.
Yeah. Oh, I got nothing. I can't even think anything right now, man.
Elephant.
Yeah.
Table.
Gracie, man.
Gravy.
Yeah. Nice, bro. Nice doing. I got nothing.
Oh, come on. Okay. No, we'll try this one more time. All right. Let's just try to rhyme.
Brand new banger.
Red.
Blue.
Okay, all right. We're going to try this. We're going to try this one more time. Money.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know what rhymes with money?
No, funny.
Honey?
Yeah.
Baloney? No, that doesn't rhyme either.
Man!
What's your favorite song of all time?
Crazy, bro. I don't know.
You don't even know your favorite song?
I can't think of one, no. That's it, motherfucker.
So I don't know if you guys realize, Steve didn't rap.
Yeah, no,
Steve
didn't rap. Didn't catch
it. So, he tried. Tried very, very hard.
Your work is cut out for you today to do a remix, but you took it into the lab?
I took it into the lab. Really, not much to work on here. So we're gonna get a little minimal with Steve's remix. This has been stuck in my head ever since I made it. Very Baby Keem, Brockhampton. I think it's a good beat, and I think Steve was the perfect voice for this beat.
Let me know
if you like it, because I can honestly extend it if you want. This is a short remix. I'm thinking about making a full song out of this.
Oh, this
is the
confident
definition of polishing a turd. Here
Let's
we go.
Go.
Brand new banger.
That's it, motherfucker. Anyway, I can't even think. Can't even think. I can't even think. Just, I sit in a wheelchair and roll and stuff. Probably about 25. I can't even think. That's it, motherfucker.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Mahoney, you and I have talked a lot about how we'll do a lot of things for convenience, but how risky do you feel like you'll get if you can save yourself some time or make it more convenient for yourself? And specifically, I'm talking about like with traveling. Like, would you, like, they're talking a lot about the Virgin Hyperloop and things like that. Would you try the Hyperloop?
I mean, I don't feel like that's super risky or it's would be risky. But like, if you're talking about, like, when it comes to travel, I don't think about saving time. I think about, like, I get to the airport early. I do not want to miss a flight. I don't want to miss a ship. Like when I go on a cruise, all of that. I'm always like there incredibly early because I do not want to miss it. Like, I'll fly in a day early for a cruise. Like, same day. There's some people who fly out same day to go on a cruise. I will not. I fly in the day before because I just one of my biggest fears is missing a flight, missing a cruise, something along those lines, of which it would just create infinite amounts of havoc.
And Dave,
in the
you're
schedule.
The exact opposite.
I'm the exact opposite. Like, I love getting to the airport where I walk up and they're starting to board the flight, and then just walk right on the plane. Love that. That's great.
I mean, I wish we had a very legit, like, high speed rail system here in America, like they do in Japan or in Europe.
So the Hyperloop is the thing that Virgin has been developing in the middle of the desert, where it's essentially traveling at the speed of an airplane.
200 miles an hour.
No, it's
right?
Like 800 miles an hour.
Oh,
like the high speed trains.
Like, it's going to catch on fire.
Yeah, the high speed trains go. I mean, when you think about it logically, right? You're like, is it any less safe than traveling through the sky at 800 miles an hour in a metal tube?
Do we have anything that goes that fast current? Like, I mean, I don't know.
Not in America. I mean, the fastest trains in Japan, I think, go 400 maybe fast.
Yeah, okay, then we want to double that speed? That feels unsafe.
I don't know if they go 800 miles an hour.
Look it up.
I thought it was 200 is what I saw.
Well, the reason why I bring it up is because there is a Seattle-based company called Radian Aerospace, and they plan to build and commercialize a true space plane that would be able to take off from a commercial runway, fly to space, and then return under its own power. But the whole thing here is that you would be able to basically get halfway around the world in about 40 minutes.
That'd be dope. Cool.
I'm here for that for sure.
If they can make it happen.
If you can blast off into outer space, cool, get to see space, don't want to be here, space sucks.
Some space kids.
And then right back down?
Yeah.
Just like, you know, a little Las Vegas to San Diego flight, you know, one of those little 45-minute, we don't even have time for drink service, guys.
Which bull BS.
It's total BS.
There's always time for drinks.
Always time for drinks.
I would be into this if it was reasonably priced, but I know it's going to be $1 billion.
But if you could get from here to, like, where's really far?
No, if you want to go.
Rome. If you can get it from here to Rome in 40 minutes.
You know, like the Maldives, you know, like, or whatever, you know, that's usually like a 24-hour flight.
Yeah, I mean, when my wife and I went to Thailand for our honeymoon, it took us from the time we left to the actual time we got to the hotel, mm-hmm, 32 hours of traveling.
Oh,
awful.
No. I wouldn't even know what day
it was. It was just totally out of it.
Why did you agree to that?
Well, I mean, it was exotic.
Honeymoon.
Yeah, and my wife's way hotter than
Dave's
I am.
Just trying to get laid, man.
She picked Thailand?
we picked it together. But
and did you know it was one of those 36 hours?
Where we had to. No, I didn't. I mean,
I was going to say.
So, I mean, we had to fly, you know, all the way from L.A. to China, and then from China down to Thailand. And then once we got to Thailand, we had to fly to another small island on a little plane. And then from there, we had to get on a boat and go to another island.
I'm the type of person where I would look at that. I'm like, oh, yeah, Thailand, beautiful.
You're all gassed up. It's your honeymoon.
Well, same thing,
you know?
Like,
you're
going, like, to Tahiti, man. Like, you got to fly across the world.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I was like, that was beautiful.
And you ate hamburgers.
I will never see you guys again.
And you ate hamburgers.
Damn right I had hamburgers.
So I'm going to the Caribbean.
You went to Thailand, and you didn't eat any Thai food.
It's like, all you got to do is fly into Florida. Simple.
What, to go to the Caribbean?
Your cruises?
Yep.
You were such a creature.
Or just
fly
into St. John straight up.
Do you don't want to go anywhere else, like,
nah,
any other beaches?
I mean,
it's too
Hawaii.
Far. If not, it's going to take you 36 hours.
Hawaii. But Hawaii is about the same. I mean, if you're on the West Coast, going to Florida or Hawaii,
yeah,
you're looking about a 90-minute difference.
So do you ever envision yourself as being like one of those old dudes walking around with a metal detector? Because you know what I'm talking about, like the guys at the beach
that
are
cool
out
as hell.
Are they?
I'm
are
jealous.
They?
I know it got big.
That. I never thought that either.
Oh, I think those guys are. I love the guys walking around fields finding cool stuff. Always old, like beer cans, like all sorts of crazy stuff.
It's like old by like a year.
No, they find real old stuff. Like doing metal detecting is. I've wanted to do this since like early 2000s. And I just have never bought one.
Of course. Can't you see Mahoney
years old.
With a metal detector? Not even out like on a beach somewhere, but just like walking around his backyard.
Oh my gosh.
I can see it right now in my head.
I'm going to find a very old beer bottle in my backyard.
Some guy, it actually did pay off. So this guy who was doing it many years ago stopped doing it because it's kind of time consuming and once he started a family, but his kids were the ones that actually talked him into picking it back up because they wanted to go out and they thought it was kind of a fun thing to go metal detecting with their dad. This dude found a coin, and as it turns out, it was a pretty good example of one of England's oldest gold coins.
Wow.
So this guy, who's now 52 years old, said he found this gold penny buried about 4 inches deep on farmland and decided that he was going to dust this thing off, take it to auction, and it sold at auction. You're kind of, you have this smirky little look on your face.
How much did it sell? How much did this penny sell for?
How much would make it worth it to you?
$1 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's close. $875,000 for a penny. Cool. It turns out it was struck in 1254 by one of the king's goldsmiths.
Wow.
And it was, the precious metal was imported from North Africa. And so this single penny that has been around since before the 1300s sold for $875,000.
So I'm on.
It was buried 4 inches deep.
I am on.
4 inches plenty.
Six
the,
and a half.
I guess Garrett is one of the top metal detecting companies in the world. So I may order one of these.
How much are they? How much does a metal detector go for?
Anywhere between $200 and about $1,000.
You get a $1,000 metal detector?
This one says it's 24 karat gold. Gold Master 24K.
It's going to be sitting there detecting itself
Take
the whole time.
Take your prospecting to new depths.
So stupid.
You get headphones that come with it. You find gold. This one's for finding gold.
Okay, let me ask you this. The headphones
super sensitive gold detector.
It's a gold metal detector.
It is emotional. Don't call it super sensitive.
No, it's defined gold. It's defined gold.
She's got feelings, too.
Or you can find rappers like 24K Gold.
Buried 4 inches deep.
Yep.
After that one hit song.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
Mahoney, what happens when you mix a little bit of Alabama, some squirrels, violence, and methamphetamine all together?
You get me.
You get our co-host, Audrey.
Or you get a damn good time. Some methed up Bama squirrels. What's going on with this, Dave?
So you might remember this story about the guy who had the attack squirrels. He is back in the news.
I mean, having attack squirrels, I feel like it's way more of a flex than having attack dogs. Everybody's got a junkyard. You know, there's so many junkyard dogs out there. Who has a fleet? A squadron of squirrels. Yeah, that you could sick on
a squirrely squadron.
Yeah.
Well, he kept his squirrels methed up to keep them ready to attack at any point. Well, whoever the perp was that he wanted to go after.
Nice. That's smart because it's kind of like if you have a pig farm, you keep your pigs hungry so you can always dispose of a body that way.
Right.
Oh my God.
So this guy's trial was scheduled to start on Monday, but it was continued. After court documents realized that he was facing charges of possession of a wild animal, stolen property, possession of a weapon by a felon, he was arrested back in 2019, which is why you might remember the story.
Are they considering the squirrels, the attack squirrels, a weapon, or did he have a firearm?
He had a firearm as well.
I mean, I feel like having a gun when you have a squadron of methed up squirrels, I feel like you're just kind of.
You're a doomsday prepper.
No, you're pulling the. No, I'm feeling.
Oh, he was ready. He had his meth, his ammunition, and his body armor along with his methed up squirrels.
But no, if you have a squadron of squirrels that are methed up, I feel like you're going to demoralize them because, why does he have a gun? Well, we're not good enough. I feel like you're just
sowing disconsent.
Yeah, the last thing you want
to discontent amongst your squirrel ranks.
Self-conscious, messed up squirrels? No.
Not great.
Not
yeah.
good.
No,
we're going to have some what are they in the 70s in? The non-conscious deserters? Or
what?
They're just going to walk away?
The people who refuse to register for the draft.
I don't know what you're talking about. Ian, do
you
know?
What does that have to do with messed up squirrels?
What?
They're just going to walk out. That's what he's saying.
I'm saying, like, if you've got a gun and body armor, you don't have faith in your attack
squirrels.
Conscious
objectors. That's what
conscious objectors.
Okay.
We got there.
Not quite as catchy as the squadron of squirrels.
Close.
So a man preparing to board a Spirit Airlines flight on Wednesday took a trip with police after a drunken tirade. And look, it's embarrassing to get arrested because you're drunk, right? It's especially embarrassing if it happens at an airport, because if you're out at a bar and you're surrounded by other drunk people, they're not really paying attention.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sober people at airports, and everyone's got a cell phone, which is what happened here.
Oh, no.
He was getting hauled off of the plane, and he said, "Call my grandma and tell her I'm not coming."
And did everybody try and find this man's grandma on the internet?
And then
my nana.
He looks at the cops and said, "Carry me. I'm so effed up."
He just wanted to be... Mahoney, you can relate.
I mean...
You were drunk and being coddled by a man in Chicago that one time.
They should have just carried him to that big front seat on Spirit Airlines.
Witnesses say that they could hear him saying to the Spirit employee, "You owe me $262.18.
Aw, do you think that
because
they were
you
just
charged
like,
me twice and you're a piece of ass.
Just like rocking him to sleep, like... sleep now.
Can we
Sweet
just
prince.
Sleep my king.
There's a level of drunkenness that's acceptable, but can we, the people who aren't drinking in an airport, can you avert your judgy-ass
so judgy.
Eyes from me?
Yeah,
I'm drinking a double Jack straight up
at
right
nine.
Now.
At 7:37 a.m. Leave me alone.
Why is it that everybody, and me included, just thinks it's a great idea just to get hammered before getting on the plane?
Because they don't serve alcohol on most
airlines. I know, but then you're
anymore.
Hungover on the plane.
But also, there's nothing else to do. Like,
it's nothing.
You're like, look, I've got a six-hour day of traveling, and I'm gonna get to the point of being blackout drunk,
mm-hmm.
but not actually cross the line, because then you end up like this guy.
Oh, man.
Moral
just
story, be a happy
sleeping.
Drunk. Yeah.
But do you get another, to choose if you're a happy drunk or not a happy drunk?
I feel like you will it. You will it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You put it into the, you manifest it.
No,
no,
getting drunk, going, while you're getting drunk, just know, like, I'm going to be a happy drunk and just manifest
I'm
going to
look for angel numbers.
Or be like Mahoney, kind of a mix of happy / mean drunk at the airport where you insult
just
a kid.
At kids.
And because he has a earlier boarding pass than you on Southwest. And then also be the jovial guy who almost gets kicked off the plane because you're loudly cussing at your friends about how much weight they've lost.
Yeah.
It's a nice mix.
You look thin.
Holy F, you look great, buddy. You lost a bunch of weight. Screw you, kid.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
If you could tell anything to yourself from a year ago, what would it be?
Message deleted.
Strap in. It's going to be a wild ride. And the pandemic's not going to be over.
Sell Peloton in November.
Right.
Strap on. Make me feel something.
Oh, gosh. Strap on. Lights off, lights on.
Here's the thing, man. Is that like I don't feel like I've learned anything this past year other than try to buy as many digital monkeys as you can on the internet and then sell them to other idiots.
Yeah.
But I think you have to have a following in order to sell digital monkeys now.
No. Somebody else does, but if we would have got in early on.
Right. You sell all the digital monkeys to all the idiots with followings, and then they sell them to other idiots. It's great.
Man. And then you get a hexagon Twitter avatar.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
Very important.
I don't
stuff.
Even understand what any of that means. Like, so I'm on the out. I'll never be rich. That's exactly that makes me feel like. I don't understand anything that's going on in the digital world. It's all so above me that whenever I hear that speak, that lingo, that verbiage, what is like the hexagon on Twitter? I don't even know.
I'm gonna be poor forever.
I
mean that's one thing, but like all this stuff with the metaverse and Dana White from the UFC was talking about how they're thinking about holding a fight in the metaverse, and I'm like, what does that mean?
Where are we going? Where is technology leading us? And that's what scares me. Like, where are we going?
But I mean, you think
where is this taking us?
You think about the metaverse, right? And you know, how materialistic we are in real life, why wouldn't that translate to the digital world? It already does.
Of course it is. I mean, even think about, like, you take a game like Fortnite or Modern Warfare or, excuse me, Warzone, Apex Legends, or even going back to, like, Team Fortress 2. Mm-hmm. You have a digital avatar that you play, but like a lot of those are free to play games.
Right.
But the way they make their money is by selling you different little aesthetics.
Yeah.
That you can.
It's just like wearing Nikes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can have, and they
so
make
is it
billions
be like
of dollars.
GTA, but like in real life, sort
yep.
of.
Yep.
I mean, there's already one of those things. There's already, like, if you watch
exhausting.
Twitch, there's like role playing Grand Theft Auto servers, like,
oh
where you
gosh.
Just have whole things. Play out. I mean, yeah, if we don't think that Ready Player One is going to be the future, we are mistaken, because that 1,000% is going to happen, and it's probably closer than we really expect.
That's what I'm saying. Where is technology leading us?
Forward. I mean, we have to adapt, and if we don't, then you
die.
Then
I'm going to be left like our grandparents who don't know how to zoom in
on
a photo.
But the advantage that we have that I don't think our grandparents or our great grandparents had is that we understand how fast technology is.
I'm sprinting for
moving.
My life right now. Don't
but
you feel we, like
but
that?
But you know you can't get left behind with it, because then you become kind of obsolete in that regard. So trying to better yourself, at least for me, I like learning new things in that world. Even though I'm not mastering in them, I have a vague understanding on how they move forward.
It makes me feel like, because I have not, if I'm not at a certain point in my life at 30, especially in, like, the digital world, and, like, I don't even have a home yet, okay? I'm a renter. Like, I'm, like, literally sprinting to keep up with everything digital and everything and the cost and inflation and all of that. I just don't see myself ever reaching a point to where I'll be able to keep up with the way that things are moving, because they are going so fast. At a speed that I got little legs, Mahoney. I don't know if you've ever seen them. I got a long torso and little
future,
legs. It is hard to keep up.
The future stops for no one.
Ugh, God, me.
I mean, it's true.
I'm a pick-me girl. Slow down.
Please leave a message after the tone.
How and why do people sleep naked?
Message deleted.
I feel exposed. I feel like...
Yeah,
like
I don't like feeling naked.
A booty cheek sticking out of the covers. That's
in the summertime.
Scary.
When it's hot.
Bite that thing.
Because in the wintertime, my wife keeps the house super cold. And in the summertime, my wife keeps the house super hot. So in the summer, I have to, like, get butt-ass naked.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'm going to sweat the bed out.
Mahoney, you sleep butt naked in the summer?
Sometimes, yeah.
Aren't you nervous? Like, because you know the thing that lives under the bed.
There's nothing but old wrapping paper from Christmas's past.
So you
that
let
lives
your feet hang out of the sheets too?
No, I mean, I have one sheet that, or I have one leg under the comforter, and then one leg sleeps on top of the comforter.
Ian,
so
how
one
do
leg
you
out,
sleep?
it's like a thermometer.
A thermometer?
Well, no, it keeps me cool. You know,
I had no idea you sleep naked. I've never felt bad for a bed before. Seriously.
You've never felt bad for a bed before?
Until you hear Mahoney sleeps butt naked.
But you shower before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
Last night he did it.
That's good, man. You're keeping the sheets
Remember?
Clean.
He just told us
what
earlier
does it accomplish?
That he's
stinky. Like, why? You're not overheating because you have a pair of boxer briefs on.
They're called okay. Sheeks. It's like the same material
like
as Under Armour.
So that's what it is. You like the feel of those sheeks on your junk.
Who wouldn't?
Mm-mm.
No, man.
Wake up
don't
in the
do,
middle of the night
that.
Like, hmm. All right.
And then you're just over there dry humping. Your wife's like, what is happening?
Do you remember there was
an earthquake, a very unimpressive earthquake?
There was like a scary story that was told. It was like one of those that were passed around from child to child in elementary and middle school that freaked me out so bad. And it was, there was a guy who was like coming to hurt you in your home. And he was like creeping around on the floor. And essentially the end of the story was you thought that the dog was licking your hand. And it wasn't the dog. It was this killer guy that was in your house. And I just remember thinking that every time that if I put my hand over on the bed, if I think it's my dog, it's going to be this killer guy. So, like, I can't sleep naked because hand, foot, butt, doesn't matter. What if that guy is the killer man who's coming to get me and I think it's my dog licking me and it's this killer?
But your loose T-shirt will save you.
Nope, it's the burrito, because if I can't see him, he can't see me. So I'm full sleep. Like,
you sleep in a cocoon?
I do.
Really?
And it's awful whenever my husband's got gas.
Oh, he just busts you. Oh, he doesn't
awful.
Even have to Dutch oven you. You're already doing it to yourself.
Damn. It's so bad. It's a nightmare in itself.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Mahoney, I'm going to make a statement to you right now, and I want you to try to instantly prove me wrong.
Okay, Dave, we'll cheer.
Humans are the weirdest species on Earth.
The only thing that I can think of that's even closer that could even be in the same conversation, but I'll agree with you, would be octopus.
I said the same thing in chat, 100%.
Octopus are very weird.
But I don't think they have the mental problems or the, the hang-ups that we have as humans.
You haven't watched my octopus teacher.
Humans don't, like, we intentionally torture ourselves.
Yeah, we sabotage ourselves.
Why do we do that? Like, all other animals are just like, they're just trying to make it by, right? Like, octopuses are just born weird. Yeah. And they're just like, okay,
they look weird.
Yeah, I got a beak and I got, I'm smart, but I'm disgusting, but I'm also beautiful in a way. Meh. Whereas us humans, okay, so let me give you the example that I have here. They held a marathon in Siberia to break the Guinness World Record where runners braved temperatures of 63.4 degrees below zero.
Why? Why would you ever do that?
That's what I mean. Like, what other species out there? Like, okay, I'm going to put myself in a situation where I know if anything goes wrong, I am certainly going to perish. It's like the people that climb Mount Everest. I get you're trying to accomplish something that most other people don't. You're probably going to die.
Shout out to Sir Edmund Hillary for climbing Everest the first time and not taking a selfie. You know, I mean, I feel like everybody who's climbing Everest now, just for the selfie. But Sir Edmund Hillary did it for the glory.
Did it for the glory?
Just did it okay. To see if he could do it. And then we glorified him years after.
A Russian runner won the Pole of Cold Marathon in 3 hours and 22 minutes, which is really fast.
Doesn't that sound like
negative 63 degrees?
Like a pole of coal, like some dirty Santa maneuver?
No, cold. Pole of cold.
Oh, I think it's cold. Yeah. Okay, a little different.
Yeah. So what is the scariest thing to happen to you behind the wheel? So a driver said that he feels lucky to be alive and uninjured after a huge chunk of concrete fell from a overpass.
I would say that'd be
scary. Crashed through the windshield of his car.
And barely missed his head.
I mean, we've seen some stories like this over the past couple of years.
People die all the time.
Where, I mean, the stuff falling, we see some people, you know, intentionally throwing stuff. That is attempted murder. But then we also saw that one, I believe it was out of Florida a couple of months ago, with the guy who had the pole come through his windshield, like Final Destination style. Crazy.
I ran over a log once on the highway. It was like, you know, like the logs you would split to make firewood. I mean, It wasn't a huge one that was going across several lanes. It was about half the size of a lane. I was stuck between two other cars, and I was driving a Toyota Celica at the time.
Oh, you would have died.
No, I hit the log.
You hit the log?
I hit the log.
Oh, wow.
And luckily, I think because my car was so far to the ground, it just like kind of like sort of like pushed it over, but still kind of rolled over.
Yeah,
but I couldn't change lanes because I would have hit another car.
Oh,
and that
gosh.
Was like literally the whitest knuckle moment in my car I've ever had.
I had to dodge like a freezer, like a
what?
Yeah, it was like an ice chest that you would keep in your garage at home.
What was that doing?
It must have fallen off of somebody's vehicle. But like the part of me that I can't fathom is how you, one, either don't notice, or two, just don't care. You just keep going.
What do you do?
So
you stop and you back up and you pull it out of the road. Otherwise, someone's going
to
die.
Last road trip my wife and I were on.
Yeah.
We're driving back to town and we're behind a truck, and it's a two-lane highway because it's, you know, it's pretty far between cities, and a mattress flies off the back of a truck.
You saw it actually fly off?
In front of me.
Yeah.
And I, like, luckily, like, the wind caught it and, like, pushed it over to the side. But the guy
just kept going.
Kept going. Did not give it. I'm like, thank God that did not come our way, because as much as mattresses weigh, and if you're going 80 miles an hour on the freeway,
I was going 80 and had to dodge a mattress. That was already on the ground, though.
But that's dangerous.
Still, that's dangerous, too.
Yeah.
And that's nobody wants to get murdered by a Serta.
End this now. Thank you.
Need more Dave and Mahoney? Be sure to follow them on social media at Dave and Mahoney and visit DaveandMahoney.com.
Fabulous.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free. There's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.